this morning. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful you've made it so we can drink, Lord. You provide it. And I'm so thankful that I was found to be part of it, Lord. Not of my own doing, Lord. You just saw something in your children, Lord, and you made them ready. I could never thank you enough if we had all of eternity to do it. And we thank you for raising this up and bringing us together this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the word to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I had a hard time this morning deciding whether to call this the oneness message or call it the brooding over the sea, because they come so close together in this one. But I went ahead and called it oneness. It doesn't really matter what I call it, I don't think. It just matters what the prophet told us. Because you know who Brother Branham said? You know, Brother Branham said that Joshua was the prophet for today. That Joshua was the prophet, and that Caleb was the faithful one who followed after what Joshua said. And if I've never seen a better example of the bride, I can say Caleb is a better example of the bride. I mean, that's those that follow after him. And I have another message on that, so I'm not going to get back on that. But before we get started this morning, there's a lot of things I feel like if the Lord will help me, it's going to come together. And I've long said that the message is talking about the same thing, but it's just talking about it in so many different ways. But it's talking about the same thing. It's talking about God manifesting himself. And when he did that, it was going to be in man. There's not going to be a higher expression of God than man. That's in creation. That's what he intended. He said he made man to express his words. And so, but I want us to think about something before we start on the message this morning. And we've hit all these points, and so I just want to bring them back to your mind. I wrote a little something there on the message, and you can read that later if you want, but I want us to think about something. Brother Bram said that Adam lost the inheritance. He lost it. And we know that the inheritance was the book of redemption. Before Adam ever fell, his inheritance was the book of redemption. And what was the book? Was it sealed then? The book was sealed then when Adam had it in his inheritance. Before he ever fell, it was still sealed when Adam had it. The only thing that could open that book, the prophet told us, was Christ, was Jesus Christ. He was the only one could open that book. And just think about that a little bit. Adam had in his possession an inheritance that he couldn't open. He couldn't open it. Only Christ could open it. Remember, Brother Branham said that the word about marriage and divorce, he said that a man should not take back a woman that went and slept with another man. If his wife slept with another man, he's not supposed to take her back. And he said that that was the word before the foundation of the world. And that Adam did it. Adam took her back when he wasn't supposed to. And so I'm just saying that because I want you to know that all of the word was that way. It wasn't just that part that Brother Branham said, but it was the part that that book couldn't be opened by anybody but Jesus Christ. When Adam had it, before he fell, the only one could open it to Adam was Jesus Christ. Right then. Because Brother Branham said before any of this ever happened, he'd already slipped that wedding ring of predestination on there. He'd already put Adam's name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was already there before Adam ever fell. And so there was something there that happened in the garden that was just the beginning. What does Brother Branham say that Genesis is? What did he tell us it was? He said it was the seed chapter. He said, if you want to answer any question, the beginning of that question is right there in that chapter. And so we want to think about that. Now we just said this about Adam not being able to open this. But now let's think about this too. Brother Branham said, what did he say entitles us to the token? Full obedience to the word entitles us to the token. And what did he say the token was? It was life. So the only way we're going to receive life is through full obedience. The only thing could open that book was Jesus Christ. Because in that book was life, right? That was our inheritance. I'm just telling you, I'm just saying what Brother Branham said. I'm just bringing it back all at once. Just think about it. And so, Brother Branham said there was two laws. Obey the word and live. Disobey the word and die. It was always that way. Even after the fall, it was that way. Before the fall, it was that way. After the fall, it was that way. And Brother Branham said a life lived would be the word. So if Adam couldn't open the book and couldn't be that, unless Jesus Christ came and paid it for him so that he could do it, where does that put us now? And where does that put what was going on in the garden? God has been, he spoke those words back there to bring everything into existence, Brother Branham said. And he's been wooing them into being ever since then. He's never stopped. He knew the fall was coming. That was all part of wooing it into place. And all right, so let's get into the message part here. So who interprets his own word? And we know Brother Branham said God interprets his own word. Amen. And I'm just stacking these on top of each other because they all pertain to the same thing. They all pertain to how God brings his seed to pass. And his word, his seed is his word. God always interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. We know that. But we see Adam put in the garden and he was told to bring it to pass. Brother Branham said he put him on equal basis with him. And Brother Branham said he had a covenant that Adam could keep his life as long as Adam could keep the word. God wasn't doing it for him. If God was keeping the word for him, he wouldn't have failed. There's no way around that. That was the covenant that Adam was under. And God knew that. Now, what did Brother Branham say? He said, from the very beginning, God was going to share eternal life with man, and he was going to do it one way. One way. And that was through Jesus Christ. That's how he was going to share life with man. And he said, in the tree of garden, that tree of life, that's what he was going to share with us. But until it became flesh, he couldn't. So I'm just stacking all those. All those go together. Every last one of those go together that we've talked about just now. And we're going to, as we start to read the quotes, I'm trusting the Lord will just open it for you and let you see it. Okay, so make sure I don't miss something here. So God gave them some words to keep, right? And if they had kept those words, they would be that word reflected. That's what Brother Branham said Jesus Christ was. He was the word, the perfect word reflected. And that's why when Brother Branham said, we're going to read it here in just a minute, that when God saw that perfect word reflected in a man, that's when he struck him so he could make him bread for us. Because brother and sister, we had to have bread. From the very beginning, bread eternal life. That's what we had to have. And Brother Branham always said that when he interprets his word, he brings it to pass. And if he brings it to pass, the only way we can receive it is when he brings it to pass. So if he's got a whole world covered up with men who can't bring it to pass, he's got to do it. Otherwise, there won't be anything there for us to receive. There has to be bread for us to receive. In other words, God has to make himself visible for the word to recognize the word. You see what I'm saying? God had to bring Jesus on the scene and manifest him and make him the God, make him God walking around in front of the people so that Peter could look at him and say, that's Christ, the Son, so that God could tell Peter that's who that was. But until he had that perfection walking around in front of him, he couldn't tell no man that. He couldn't tell the man, look at Joshua, that's perfection. He couldn't tell him that. He couldn't tell him, look at Adam, that's perfection. Look at Moses, that's perfection. He couldn't tell them that. Nowhere. No how could he ever say that. But when Jesus came on the scene, he could say that. Amen. This is Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no fault found in him. There's no flaw found in him. This is bread, brother and sister. This is bread. And that coming was the beginning of the great coming. Brother Branham said there's three parts of that one great coming. But I'm not going to go into that. I'm sorry. So let's get into the message part here. But I want you to answer or think about the question on who interpreted the word in Jesus. It was God interpreting his own word in Jesus by Jesus' own testimony. I am not the one that does the works. He that dwelleth in me, he does the works. So the works were what they were seeing and what they were recognizing as the word made manifest as he walked around. The things that he done, the things that were prophesied that he would do, and he was doing them. And that was God bringing that to pass. God interpreted his own word. And it looked like a man called Jesus. All right. So let's pick up in the message. The spoken word is the original seed. And I'm not sure if Brother Goober read this one. It seemed awful familiar, but sometimes it's familiar because I read it a few days before myself. And so I don't know, but. Now, I want to begin this morning. This isn't in the six-hour message. I want to begin this morning with my text to use this. The spoken word is the original seed. Now, that's what I wish to lay the text on. The spoken word is the original seed. Now, if you'll notice, God said, let it bring forth of in its kind, in his kind. Whatever it must be brought forth of its kind. So whatever seeds that God brought forth, his word, when he spoke it, it had to bring forth what that word was. Now the word of God is eternal. God, being infinite, cannot speak one thing and then later on change it to something else. We know that. That just testifies to what Brother Gumu was saying Wednesday night about all God's forms are eternal. So when God speaks his word out, he don't stutter. He don't have something he said he has to change. It's just like him. It's eternal. It says what he thinks. God, being infinite, cannot speak on one thing and then later on change it to something else to a better decision. That means God gets better. He grows. And you can't be eternal and do that. Because every decision of God is perfect. He cannot, once his word is once spoken, it can never die. It lives on and on and on and can never die because it is God. His word can no more die than he can die. That's the reason we read in 1 John, St. John first chapter, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The same Word that was spoken in the beginning with His eternal purpose came on over and made flesh and dwelt among us. See, back when He created Adam, He'd spoke the Word, and Adam was coming forth. But it didn't happen till He came on over here. You see what He's saying? And I'll hit it again here in just a second. Well, Brother Branham will hit it again in a second to make it clearer. The same Word that was spoken in the beginning with His eternal purpose, it was spoke with His eternal purpose. Remember whenever the Bible says that the earth was created, heavens and earth was created, and then it says it's without form and void. Like Brother Goomba was talking about the other night, it coming in stages. So God don't, bam, bring it all just right away like that. He's bringing it in stages as He's bringing it to pass. And so when He put Adam in the garden, that was the seed chapter. That was the beginning of Him bringing it to pass. And the Word was made flesh. The same Word that was spoken in the beginning with His eternal purpose came on over and made flesh and dwelt among us. God's Word. So that Word, it didn't die. It just had to go through some other things before it happened. And I'm going to read that to you. It's not Chris's idea on that one. Harvest time. God is a great sculptor, right? And He made man in His image to reflect Him. And He is the Word. And what did He do? He tried Adam and he failed. So Adam didn't reflect Him. Adam done something that didn't reflect Him. Moses failed. All the rest of them failed. But there is one perfect, hallelujah. What is it? Nothing less than God Himself in flesh. The Word reflected in Him. Brought the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not a prophet, yet He was a prophet. Not a man, yet He was a man. Jews, don't try to claim Him as yours. He was neither Jew nor Gentile. He was God. See, you are what your blood is, see. And of course, your flesh. And Mary, of course, Mary didn't have no conception with the Holy Ghost giving her a sensation. So in other words, there was no sexual anything that went on there. And Brother Branham, he likened when that egg dropped out of the ovary as part of the sexual reproduction. So that didn't happen either, is what he's saying. No conception with the Holy Ghost giving her a sensation. God the Father created a germ or an egg in Mary and a blood cell in her. So He created them both. And it was the blood of God. The blood comes from the male. The hemoglobins in the blood has to come from the father because the baby can't even take its mother's disease, like TB. It could inherit it from the breath of the mother, but not inherit it. I mean, it can't breathe it and catch it, but she cannot take it from the mother because he or she is free from it. It's not his mother's blood. So he's just saying, even though the blood is coming from the child and feeding the child, it's not going to be able to give it the disease because that's not what they receive when they're born. They receive the blood from their father. Gentile, Jew or Gentile, he was creative blood by Jehovah himself. He was the blood of God. The Bible said, we're saved by the blood of God of a Gentile. Not the blood of a Jew or the blood of a Gentile. It would have been be sex. Would all be sex. But this was the blood of God. Notice now, when he seen that perfect one, he struck him and marred him. As soon as he saw this perfect one, he struck him. He marred him. Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. What was he? He was that perfect Word, reflected for bread. He became bread, brother and sister, because he was the perfect word. Not because he was part of it. They had to receive Moses' message while they were back there. They had to. That was bread and type. But this was bread that was life eternal. He was perfect word, reflected bread, that every man shall live by. That's the bread that we shall live by, and that's it. He was that wheat of God's word that could be ground and put into the four gospels, the 66 books. The 66 books, all of them. And man shall live by that, and that alone, and every word of it. They shall live by it. And that's the only way they're going to live. Amen. That was Michelangelo's masterpiece. And when God could see himself reflected in a man, he had that perfect man created in his own image. Oh my, what a man. He had to die for all of us. We could stay on that, but we won't. He had to die for all of us, and he died, the perfect one, that we imperfect could be made perfect in him. By how? By partaking of every word of his Bible, by partaking of the bread that he was. Was he the whole word of God? He was the fullness of the Godhead. Now, then he raised him up again for our justification, that we have a right as a raised Jesus, that he is here now to minister to us every word. He's here now to minister to us every word. Was he there to do every word in any other time but this one? Every word of God that we should live by. Isn't that something that he's here now with every word so that we should live by it? And it just so happens that the seventh seal was opened. It just so happens that he grabbed the book and opened it and showed us everything. Now, quickly now, then we're closing. Now, the second Eve brought. Now, I said I was going to hit that about Adam again, so here we go. Now, the first bridegroom, Adam, had to be brought up a long string of prophets, through a long string of prophets, and so forth, and then come out perfect, and then had to die in order to be bred. So he was in Christ, and he's going to tell us that. So Adam, that first Adam, had to come up through that long string of prophets. See the word going forth, going forth. It's going forth, and then it's going to be brought to pass. See, he's laying out the word by his prophets, and then he comes and fulfills the word in Jesus. See what he's doing? He's making bread for us. I think that's just absolutely beautiful. But sometimes when we've heard it a lot, we don't think so much of it. And so forth. Then come out perfect. And then had to die in order to be bread for the rest of them. Now, we were all in him when he died. So what does that mean? Are we going to be part of the bread? Now, what about Eve? She was to do the same thing. But when Jesus come, remember, Eve was the woman, the church, always is a woman represented in the Bible. Because she is bride. Now, watch what she did. She tried to persuade him to her doctrine. As long as she would preach just what they thought, he was a great fella. So the church back then tried to persuade Jesus to look at things their way. But one day he began to speak and he said, I and the Father are one. And don't think it's by accident that he's drawing parallels to what's happening in his old ministry. We saw that happen in his own ministry. And Brother Branham started to ratchet down on the truth, that's when they said, get him away from us. And that one thing I was reading about the other day, I did not know The Pentecostals hated his predestination doctrine and foreknowledge. They hated it. Both sides hated it. And they didn't like it at all. And they were trying to say, the people that was writing this article was trying to say that Brother Branham's view of predestination didn't fit any template ever that had ever come before that. And I thought that was pretty good. But one day he began to speak and said, "I and the Father are one. Oh, you make yourself equal with God." Wouldn't be still long enough, because they'd seen God manifest in his life out of Nicodemus' own mouth. He said, if it's of God, wasn't he the one that said, if it's of God, then don't touch it? "Oh, you make yourself equal with God, see? Oh, my. We want nothing to do with that fella anymore." And I'm sure they accused Brother Branham of some of the same stuff. I was listening to Sister Rebecca Smith, Branham Smith, back in 2003. She did a slideshow of all the pictures that she had. And then she talked about what happened around this picture and things like that. And as she talked through some of those things, I realized some of the turmoil that Brother Branham was going through. And you don't see it. You don't hear it in the message like he was really going through it. He was, amen, brother and sister. You know, us, me and Brother Don, and the different ministers and stuff, we don't have nothing compared to what he had to deal with.
Amen.
I'm sure Brother Don and Brother Goomba has met a lot more opposition than I have ever met. But I thought about Brother Branham there with the biggest names, the head of the denominations that didn't like him, and he was still there trying his best, knocking.
Amen.
I tell you, it's a perfect type of Christ, knocking, trying to get them to come out. But they wouldn't. Same as in the times, Noah's seed word erected a floating transformation from the earth to the sky. It sounded crazy to people to have a little cult like Noah had. And he told them, "Thus saith the Lord, God has spoken, there is coming a rain." Science and the educated and religious of that day said, "Look at that old quack. He's getting old. His mind is slipping. See?" But he was right, because he was a vindicated prophet. And then at the end of time, at the end time, his message was truly vindicated. What would he do? He transformed from the earth to glory by an ark of the word that he was preaching. It was transformed. See, the word he'd been preaching carried him above everything that was causing the problems. The scientific spray rotted the rest of them in the judgment. Their ideas about the message, hating him's message, even though God had vindicated him, that's what caused it. Caused them to go to this. The scientific spray rotted the rest of them into judgment. They rotted upon the waters of judgment of the flood. What are people trying to do today in this great scientific age of education? See, I tell you, he's drawing the parallels. The Eden Church, restored again to its Eden scientific condition. So they've been trying to restore Eden with a scientific way instead of the word. Are you exalting the word of God? Is people trying to exalt the word of God? This was a serious question, brother and sister, and I don't think they realized it. Is the people trying to exalt the word of God, or are they trying to exalt themselves? Which is it? Wonder. Now you take that example. Take the example I was given the other day on Cain and Abel. You think about that. Cain brought his idea, and Abel brought God's revelation. He didn't bring his idea. He brought what God gave him to bring. And God accepted that. And Cain brought what he thought it ought to be. And then when Cain was rejected, what did Cain do? He got angry. God said, well, you can do what Abel done and you'll be accepted. And what did Cain do? He refused to do it. Amen. What did Cain want? He wanted his own way accepted. And that's what blinds people today. They want their own way accepted by God. They don't want to change it. Brother Don brought that message years ago on coping. They don't want to be coped by the word. They want God to cope with them. And that's what blinds people. The church is deformed seed. Knowledge, program, has caused the whole race again. By scientific, to be scientifically ignorant of the word of God. Scientifically ignorant of the word of God. That's a big mouthful, isn't it? But they are. Say, it can't be. It was when Jesus came. The day that Jesus came. Them men knowed that word of God just by the letter. They didn't know him, so they couldn't recognize him. That day that Jesus came, them men knowed that word of God just by the letter, didn't they? Sure. But they were ignorant of who he was. And when they seen God on the wings of a dove perform and do exactly what he had said he would do. He was doing exactly what the scripture said he would do. And he done just what the word said, all that those prophets had said would happen. But he didn't. But he did just as the word said he would do. And they were scientific men in them days, but scientifically ignorant to willfully sin. Lust had blinded. Lust for what? Lust for their idea. Lust for what they wanted. They weren't. And what did Jesus say? He said, come, lay down your ideas. I'm going to read it to you in just a second. Lust had blinded. They needed God's word to show her, to show her nakedness. They needed it, and they rejected it. And so they were blind to their nakedness. In Revelation 3 said, I counsel of thee to buy from me salve, that your eyes might be opened, that you might see your nakedness. The salve is God's word. It's what lets us see our nakedness. The salve is God's word, the healing of the eyes that brings you from natural things of the world and transforms you by the power of God into his presence. When you accept that word, it transforms you into something different. It transforms that seed. Then you see, you say, I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. See, it would be different. When you see things, it will be different. That's what the church's call is today. I counsel thee. That's what the church's call is today. I counsel thee to buy of me salve for your eyes, that you might be anointed with my salve, and then you'll see. Let that Holy Spirit come upon any person that's truly got something down there, and healing comes from the inside. Let that healing come from the Spirit that's in you. And if that genuine Spirit anointing the genuine seed, it can't do nothing but bear a son or daughters of God. It has to do that. Remember the woman at the well and all the different times that any child of God recognized the word for their day. That's what was happening. But the genuine spirit can come upon a kookaburra seed. The rain can fall upon a kookaburra and it will make it live just the same as it falls upon a wheat and makes it live. But by their fruits, you'll know them. See, and we're a fruit tree of God bearing his word. And Jesus, here's what I was talking about a while ago. Jesus said, let a man deny himself and follow me. This is salve for your eyes so that you can see your nakedness. Let him deny his education, deny his knowledge, deny his degrees, take up his cross and follow me. Walk by faith. People has lost their common thoughts of decency. I'm running little scriptures down here. I was going to give myself about 5 minutes on it or 10. See, people have lost their common decency among one another. They're not like they used to be. Men of age, of brothers and I here know, and women, people don't act like they used to be. They've lost their common understanding. The mental effect it's had upon the people of this modern scientific day that they're living in has caused people to lose their natural reasons. They can't regard somebody, a woman, as a sister and a brother. It's something filthy. And you think about that. How many times you hear these derogatory terms? One, I'm going to look at this guy and say something about him. Or one will say something to this about this woman and say something about her. You hear it walking down the street. I heard some of the awfulest myth I ever heard out of 15-year-old girl's mouths walking through Walmart one day. I just stopped and shook my head. I turned around to see if her parents was walking with them, and they weren't. It was just a pile of girls walking together. And I thought to myself, what in the world are we feeding children? What are parents feeding children? And they think, oh, I didn't feed them that. But they let them watch the TV. And this is what is on the TV. And I'm not preaching to y'all about TV. Y'all know about TV. But what I'm saying is, look at Brother Branham. He's digging down into that motivation. Why are they doing these things? If they say they're not filthy, look here, I'm going to read it. He says it here. And the woman had to dress themselves so immoral to get out amongst people. And they say, I'm a good woman. Well, what is she putting herself out there like that for? If she's a good woman, what's her intentions? Doesn't matter what she actually goes and does, an act she makes. What did Brother Branham say about Eve? She failed before she ever failed. She accepted a lie before she ever failed, before the act ever took place. And they say, I'm a good woman. Well, what is she putting herself out there like that for? There has to be something motivating that. And now you take that and you put it in the message. And you put it in the message because Brother Branham ain't talking about just this. He's talking about these denominations having their own ideas and the things that they want. See, they go out here and they act like this and they act like these other things and say that they're clean people, but they still are doing these things like this woman is doing. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but we've saw people claim to be message believers and act everything but that way. I'm a good woman. Well, what is she putting herself out there like that for? She's blinded. All right. Well, if one of these little sisters here of a little age, if your mother or my mother would have walked out on the street the way one of these women that would have put her in the insane, they would have put her in the insane institution. She didn't even have enough mind to know to put her clothes on, put on her clothes. Well, if that was insanity then, it's insanity now. It's still the same type of woman, see? But they've lost all their decency, all their understanding. They've lost theirs. And with modern understanding, with culture and education, it's healthier to be it. It's sinful and death. Notice, in other words, they're saying it's healthier to do this, act this way, and dress this way. It's sinful and death. Notice, they are, not like they used to be. And notice, in the church life, now he's bringing it back. It used to be in the church life long ago when the prophet had something to say, thus saith the Lord, the people moved. They stayed right with it. They moved. But what do they do now? Nitpick and do all kind of silly mess, talk about it not being the absolute, talk about, well, the cloud this and this that, and he said this, and failing to see the life in the word. They stayed right with it. They moved. Caleb, he stayed right with it. But now, I don't like that guy. Vote him out. See that? They don't have understanding no more. The people just don't move by the Spirit of God anymore. God's word is his spirit. And his word comes to his prophet. And the word is supposed to transform you from what the things of the world are into the image of sons and daughters of God. So we're born, as I read a couple services back, defeated. But this changes us from the defeated creature into an image of sons and daughters of God. And the word came only through these prophets as they spoke. And it had to be compared with the word and showed that it was the word. And then if you accept that word, it'll transform you from a son or a God or a daughter, or from a son of the world, the daughter of the world, to a son and daughter of God. Look at you here. So he's talking about the seed still being transformed. You're part of Christ. Brother Ram said he couldn't resurrect it back there because he still had to apply the redemption. Remember? He couldn't give it life then. He could baptize it. It could have sanctification. They could have justification. But he couldn't give them life yet. Every one of us, we've had that experience because it was spoke. It was believed. And the word came forth and fell into the bed of the heart. And there it growed right out of that. Think about it. Brother Bram said we're spiritual babies growing. Transforming yourself. His Holy Spirit transforms the seed word into its likeness. That's the only way Adam was going to get it. That's the only way any of us was ever going to get it. Like if a pear tree brings forth a pear, an apple tree or an apple brings things like that, his word will bring forth sons and daughters of God. That's what it's supposed to do, that bread that he provided. And one day, when the world lay in darkness and chaos again, the Spirit of God moved upon it. I love how he talked about this. See, this means that it was that God had, remember what he said about all down through the ages, the prophets were bringing this prophecy and this prophecy and this prophecy. That's part of the seed. It's been spoke out. And look what he's talking about. Because now he's not talking about the beginning. He's talking about when it comes time for the Holy Spirit to come to Mary and bring this one on the scene. One day when the world lay in darkness and chaos again, the Spirit of God moved upon in the predestinated seed. A predestinated seed. The predestinated. It was transformed. And it took Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is born. Remember? That's what that scripture is. Now that prophet standing there, what a man that had a sway over the nations, the people, the religious people of his day believed him. Not all of them. They never did. But this prophet, they had seen that man speak things and it was exactly right. You tell me he's not drawing a parallel right here. And it was exactly right. What he said was perfect and it came to pass. And here this man has to stand up before his people and say, a virgin shall conceive. Oh, out of reason when Isaiah said these things. A virgin shall conceive. Oh, out of reason. Oh, but you see, God didn't speak it himself. He speaks it through his prophets. Now, there wasn't nothing wrote in the Bible about that, but this prophet stood up and said, a virgin shall. In Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Remember what he said about bringing Adam up through a string of prophets to the perfect one. That's what he's talking about here. If a virgin shall conceive, now if a virgin shall conceive, that word was spoke, which was a germ. And the bed has to be there to receive it someday. He searched through the lands. There wasn't any. He went through the lands where there wasn't any. Now, did he just wait 800 years? He was bringing that about for the 800 years. And pretty near 800 years later, that predestinated seed found a bed. And she come to growing, just like God did at the beginning. Let there be light. And maybe 800 years later, there come forth light. I like how he pulled that 800 in the same as the other. Let there be a tree. It come forth like that again. Anything that he said. Now, brother, don't miss the parallels in Brother Branham's ministry of what took place. Here is a predestinated seed bringing forth Emmanuel, God with us, and to him shall the Gentiles seek. And that whom we seek to today, Jesus, you see, predestinated seed. Satan tried to spray it like he did Eve. He tried to spray it, but he failed. He tried to spray Jesus too, with his repellent on here. He was a predestinated seed. They couldn't take him in to make him a Pharisee or a Sadducee. They couldn't make him belong to any organization. See Cain there? Cain wanting you to accept his way. And that's what they wanted Jesus to do, accept their way of it, and their idea of it. He couldn't make him be, they couldn't make him belong to any organization. He was God's predestinated spoken word. There was nothing like him ever until this. Satan couldn't throw his unbelief on him. He had a repellent on him. God, spray us with a repellent is my prayer. That's right. Then the Spirit moved on him and sent him to Calvary, to the cross. See the Spirit doing these things. God providing bread for us. God providing us a way to be obedient. He's providing us a way to receive life. He's bringing that tree of life into being that we could accept it. He is the way and the truth and the light. To bring light in this day and light to all the predestinated seeds, to the church of this day, transforming sons and daughters of God into his presence. Don't stumble at the word predestination. I've went through that, you see. I want to show you Ephesians 1:5. See, just as you were, look. See, just as you were, look. Just as you were in your father, as I said the other night, just as you were in your father in the beginning, if you wasn't, you wouldn't be here. See? But see, it had to, you see, it had to go to a bedding ground in order to bring you forth. And now you're a son. You're his daughter. See, it's a seed. And then if you ever, if you are a Christian now, a genuine predestinated seed, you was in God before there was a, you always was in God. The germ of your life, what was in God? The germ of your life, which is an attribute of God, which was his thought. Say, for instance, this pretty lady sitting here, God said, in the day in the day there will be a girl, and her name will be so-and-so, and she'll be this, thus, and this. And even now, to this very hour, she would sit and listen at the message dressed in a red dress. See, that was his thought. Whoever your husband is, and whoever he is, and he would bring this together, and you would sit here in this city at this day, there would be no way for you to fail it. See? It's God predestinated it, laid it out. There could be no way for you to fail it. See? Because there's no way for you to fail it. There's no way you can mess it up.
That's right.
I don't want you to miss that. There's no way you can mess it up. There's no way you can fail it. Because he's got it. Because you're growing. And as long as your seed inside growing, you have to produce just exactly what the seed said you would do. Once that Holy Spirit, that life comes to that seed and you start growing, it's going to produce exactly those thoughts that God just said it would be. That's exactly. It's his word. It keeps his word. He keeps his word. He keeps his word. He watches over it. You was in your father as a germ, and you come forth as a daughter. So there's a difference between a germ and a daughter, because you were in him as a germ, not as a daughter. You come forth as a daughter. You, every one of you, brothers and sisters, you come forth. If you wasn't in your father, then you wouldn't have been here. And if you wasn't in God, if you believe the message of the Bible and the present message of the day, if you believe those things, if you believe that message of today, a vindication of it, that's God having brought it to pass. If you believe that God's brought it to pass, the reason you're sitting here, because you were predestinated to sit here, you wouldn't have been here otherwise. You would have been on the street, maybe drunk, some of you. So you can't mess it up. He's predestinated where you'll be and what'll happen. Maybe drunk, some of you, and some of you out here running around with other men's wives and women out married and running around with some other woman's husband or something like that. See? So how much suspender popping can you do? None. You see somebody popping suspenders, spiritually speaking, then you know to get away. See, but you are predestinated to be here. See, you can't help it. You have a father. See, you can't help it. You have a father. He is God, and you were a seed. And when he come to a place, he's got you now to where you was in him then as a thought. Now you are a person that can fellowship with him. You weren't a person that can fellowship with him before. Now you're a person that can fellowship with him. Before you were a thought. It's still you, but now you're a person. Now you're a person that can fellowship with him. See, like you was in your father's at the beginning. But now, you were in your father's at the beginning, but now you're sons and daughters. So you can fellowship with your parent. Now I want to say something here. That does not mean that as a thought, you were not God's sons and daughters. That's not what that means. It means that God expressed himself as a son. You see that? And until he expresses himself as a son, there's no son. There's just him desiring to express himself as a son. If there was, then Brother Bram said there was no angels to worship him. If those angels were already there, then they were already worshiping him. So you have to take your choice on that. The point is, and the only point I've ever tried to make, the only one I've tried my best to make, is that we are not eternal sons. Like Brother Branham said, Jesus is not an eternal son. We were internally in God, but we were not eternal sons. If we were, then that makes God the multiple Godhead. Remember, that's what Brother Branham said that he hated about the Catholic doctrine, was that they believed that there was an eternal son. He existed eternally, right alongside God. And then right alongside the Father and the Son, there was an existing Holy Ghost that existed that way eternally. That's what they believed. And Brother Branham said that that was absolute from the pits of hell. That's what it was. So we don't want to in any way make ourselves some other part of the Godhead like that, like the Catholics making themselves do what they do. That's the only thing I've ever tried to get us to see, okay? Because Brother Branham said, if we get off at the very beginning, just a little bit, then time we get way out here, we're way off. And so it might seem like a little thing, but it's not. But now you are sons and daughters. Believe me, if it was a little thing, then I wouldn't be here trying to talk about it. Now you are sons and daughters, so you can fellowship with your parent. Now you're sons and daughters, so you can fellowship with your parent. Now you're sons and daughters of God, who can fellowship with our Father God. See, just as beautiful. Don't you like that? Then you become like Him. And if we're sons, then your attributes. And was in His form, you were in His form at the beginning. And remember, if you was in Him at the beginning, and when Jesus, which is God, the Word, made flesh and dwelt among us, bread, remember we talked about it, He was the bread, then you were in Him and stood the insults that He took. You were in Him when God was making Him bread for us. You went to Calvary with Him. You died in Him. You rose in Him. And now you're seated with together in heavenly places in Him. Amen. Now one more quote here I wanted to bring. And we'll be finished. It is for today. God had a certain place He met Abraham. And there Abraham worshiped. There's only one place, Brother Branham said, that we could worship. And that was in Christ. Remember how Cain tried to worship? Remember how Abel tried to worship? Abel didn't bring his own thought. The only way he could come to Christ was the revelation that God gave him. And Cain tried to get his own and come. There's only one place to worship, and that's in the bread. That's in the revelation. And God had a certain place. He met Abraham, and there Abraham worshiped. And all down through the Testament. And His promised word will be interpreted in you by Him. You see that? That's the only way we're going to have anything. And it was always that way. His promised word will be interpreted in you. He'll bring it to pass in you by Jesus Christ, by the bread. Did you get that? The word that He promised to fulfill in the day that you're living in. You will be a written epistle of God, read of all men. He said a while ago, you couldn't help it. You're going to be it. Not what you claim. Not what you claim, but what God does through you and will speak out louder than anything you could claim. God said, these signs shall follow them that believe, that speaks through you. I always love this quote because a lot of people say, these signs shall follow them that believe, and they'll talk about casting out devils and these other things. That's not all. This is, Brother Branham said, the sign that will follow them that believe is that you'll be a written epistle for today. You'll be the word written
coming to pass, interpreted before the people. You will be that bread to the people. What did he say? He said the church's message was, come to me and buy of me salve, so that you can see your nakedness and your blindness. And I tell you what, brother, this message, every time I get in it, I never fail to be totally surprised by some things in the message. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. You know, I catch this and catch that, and things that the Lord says and does. It's so deep. It will unfold throughout eternity. And I appreciate y'all sitting and listening. And if you have any questions, feel free to just email me or call me, whatever you want to do. I